The MadTech Podcast Special, focusing on the most important topics in AdTech and MarTech.
Hello and welcome to today's MadTech Podcast Special. I'm your host, Amy Yortarine, and today we have some guests from TBWA Manchester, which is an affiliate within the TBWA Worldwide Global Collective. I'm pleased to be joined by Lisa Nichols and Gary Fawcett, both Executive Creative Directors, and Emily Adams, who is their Senior Planner. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, thanks, Amy.
Hi.
Thanks for being here. So today we'll be discussing TV as a medium with a focus on their recent campaign for Blesma, a charity which provides support to veterans who have lost limbs or sight. So first, could you share a bit about TBWA Manchester and your roles there?
Myself and Lisa are... Our title is Executive Creative Directors. So we sit on the management team at TBWA MCR. And we basically oversee the creative product. So we have creative teams that, you know, come up with concepts and answer briefs like the Blesma brief. And they work in pairs and they will present concepts to myself and Lisa, you know, and we just help accelerate that work and turn it into the best work that it could be.
Mm-hmm. We very much have a focus on what the network would call disruption. It's part of the title of the whole network, which is the Disruption Company. And basically that entails us just looking at the conventions of the sector that we're looking at. So for Blesma, we would have looked at the charity sector and coming up with the most disruptive, strategic and creative platform by which we can talk to the audience, which was great. Yeah, we worked really closely, obviously, with Emily on that from a strategic point of view. So basically the premise about any creative work that goes out of TBWA Manchester and indeed probably any TBWA agency is that it's got disruption at its heart and at its core and at its very beating soul. So
yeah, we claim the glory from Emily's hard work, basically.
Yeah, my job's, I guess, all the background research of everything from audiences to marketplace, competitors, the wider culture and trends, and I guess pull all of that research together into a simplified creative disruption brief that, again, as Lisa said, work closely with Gary and Lisa to make sure that that brief is as tight, disruptive and strong as possible as a springboard for our creative teams to really elevate and springboard their work from. So, yeah, we're a really sort of, I think, close working agency, and all the departments within that really kind of we work closely together to get the best work out of it. But yeah, a really sort of full service that I guess I kicked the beginning of the process off for everyone.
Okay, yeah, that's a really interesting premise. And going a bit more into TV as a medium, do you create differently for linear or traditional TV and CTV streaming platforms?
I guess that very much... we were having this debate this morning when we were, again, running through the questions, really, that we saw earlier yesterday. We very much focus our work on the audience and in terms of who we're speaking to and how we communicate with those people. I think it's how do we best creatively disrupt that space in order to speak to that audience in the most relevant and engaging, which everybody uses that word. I know it's a bit of a cliche, but it's true, an entertaining way. And how do we do that as an agency? So we will look at the media that we're tasked with. So in this case, obviously, it was less linear TV. So that allowed us to chunk down the audience in a much tighter way and focus very much on the kind of people that we need to speak to, with a budget from Blesma that was reasonably tight, so they had to be sure that they were getting the best bang for their buck in terms of impacting that audience and speaking to them in the right way and in a way that was going to capture them and their attention. Part of Emily's job in that respect was really much to go, what are the barriers to that audience? And I'll let Emily pick up on that because she's much more well-versed in that bit, really.
Yeah, I think this was a campaign that, due to it being a charity and, as Lisa said, having those tighter budgets, it was a campaign that was probably dictated by media from the get-go. You know, sometimes it's all around creating the platform and then understanding which media can work best for it. But we had that sort of dictated for us, which didn't hold us back. I think, if anything, it really just gave us a clearer focus on sort of where and when this media will be seen, how we can push the creative and optimize it for that sake. And also gave us the potential of of actually, because of the formats we've got, with this being on Sky AdSmart, actually we've got the ability to really closely monitor results and optimize our campaign because of that. So we're hoping, you know, we've got two bursts for this campaign, but the second burst I'm hoping will really have some great learnings or success, hopefully, to optimize and strengthen it because of that. But really the use of Sky AdSmart was this ability to really target and not waste any of our media spend at all. The audience was a key part of this. It's quite a niche audience, quite a specific audience of people who are seen to be trending the most likely to give when it comes to legacy giving. And that really crafted the creative work, the relevance of it, but also how we utilise that campaign for that platform. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Are there any other factors that made TV the best home for the campaign?
I think we were looking to reach, as much as we say it was a very focused audience, but it was also about hitting as many of that focus audience as we possibly could in a timely manner. We understood where they were going to be in the day and what channels they were going to be on. It was making sure that we could capture as many of those at one point that we possibly could. So TV was the right medium in that respect, and it also gave Blesma almost a brand platform. It was the first time they'd been on TV, so it allowed us to do a real good foundational job about who they were, what their role was, set their stall out from a brand point of view from the get-go. Obviously, it's not a very well-known in the world of charities charity in that respect. The name's quite different, quite clunky, I think. People would say Blesma, what's Blesma? So we had quite a big job to do in people understanding, one, who Blesma were and what they stood for, but two, how they wanted to talk in that space. They didn't want to come across like the usual charity ad, which, let's just say, would very much focus on pulling on your heartstrings, playing a bit of a sadder story. They wanted to do it in a way that was very particular and pointed towards them, towards their members, and then to the best way that they could grab this target audience. I think we were, again, talking this morning about it, and kind of our job, we had two target audiences. There was obviously the legacy-giving audience that we needed to capture and let them understand who Blesma were, but then our audience was also the veterans themselves. They wanted to be portrayed in a way that was very particular. They didn't want to be seen as, you know, victims in any way, or anyone to come across as feeling pity or sorry for them, or they need the money because of XYZ. They were people who have normal lives. Something had happened to them, which was obviously very bad, a very bad day at the office, they would say themselves. But however, they still have lives to lead and things to do, and they very much wanted that sense of levity, that sense of authenticity running through any particular TV ad that we did. So it was really vital to us that we did that. From the get-go for Blesma in terms of laying out a brand stall, if you will.
And I think the complexity of messages within it actually would have been really hard to come across on some other media channels that might have forced us to be a bit more... well, it was a very single-minded campaign, but it would have, I think we would have had to make some compromises on some other media platforms in terms of it being a launch. I think now that we've got a platform that's out and landed, we've got the opportunity to push that further across media. But, you know, we're focusing on topics around military, which in itself can be a bit of taboo. It can be, you know, people have differing opinions. We're also focusing on disability, and actually that in itself is a bit of a cultural taboo. We're talking about death and dying because it's all around wills and also around legacy giving and this idea that maybe you don't necessarily leave something to your family. So, and all alongside that is it being a charity that people don't really know the name of. So I think TV just gave us that permission and that platform to tick quite a lot more boxes than we otherwise would have been able to, and we feel like we've managed to land all of those, that complexity of things to tick off, I suppose, all in one 30-second ad.
I think the way the TV is designed as well to try and get people off those second screens, it's always a real challenge, and I think the way the TV is designed is that it has got a little bit of a jolt in it. It's got an interruption in what is a traditional presentation of veterans, and that rug pull in it, that we like that, and we thought, well, that is much more suited to a TV kind of media. Mm. So it was sort of inherent in the idea as well as all that stuff.
Yeah, you mentioned second screeners. Is that a consideration when planning TV campaigns usually?
Yeah, definitely is, yeah. I mean, you're just up against, people's attention is just elsewhere, isn't it? And as much as we would like people to to believe it, people don't walk around in their everyday thinking, oh, I love advertising and I want to see advertising. We've got a lot of stuff to try and pull people's attention away from. So it's always a massive challenge. I definitely think, you know, in this case, we're putting across showing somebody in their real life and you know, the fact that they just want to get on with life and the kind of things that we do every day. So seeing it in context of TV in a room on that screen in a weird way sort of felt like it helped us. But I guess it's always a challenge to try and pull people away from that. And things like, you know, sound obviously plays a much bigger factor if you're trying to get people away from their phones. Anything that you can do to disrupt that kind of background. It's a much kind of shorter attention span once you get onto the phone. And, you know, obviously every piece of media has to be approached in a different way. And each of them are their own challenges. You know, you've got skippable media. Now people can just get rid of stuff. You've got ad blockers, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, as soon as you get onto a phone, it's a very sort of different world.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. And just bringing us back to what we were talking about before, how did you hit kind of on the tone for the Blesmer campaign and what went into that behind the scenes?
A lot of very collaborative work with Blesmer, with the charity themselves, with the veterans who were their members. There were a lot of workshops and meetings behind the scenes that took place. Nothing went out or was referenced or talked about outside the veterans themselves having seen it. So there was a workshop where we presented four different scripts and, you know, discussed with them at length about which one was more authentic, which one they felt represented them in the way they wanted to be represented, because who are we to speak on their behalf? You know, we've got this audience of people who very much have a strong sense of self and how they want to be perceived in the world. So we're absolutely on a bound to work very close with them on it. And it turns out, you know, why not? They've got a fabulous sense of humour and quite a dark sense of humour, which plays really nicely and neatly for us into the fact that, you know, humour is a brilliant tool and a brilliant asset when you're trying to stand out on TV. At the minute, everybody wants to talk about causes and being worthy. And in terms of us as the disruption agency, a way to disrupt that marketplace is to use humour as a tool, and that levity and that sense of authenticity with the veterans themselves, to use that as one of our brand values. And it played out very strongly and, you know, was very much appreciated by the veterans when we took it to them.
Yeah, I think the workshop point was really key turning point. I think we knew from the get-go, from the pitch, from everything, we'd done a lot of research on charity advertising and I guess advertising more generally, but the consensus seemed to be that actually in the charity space there's this assumption that you've got to guilt trip, you've got to pull on people's heartstrings, you've got to make them feel something, but that feel something has become a convention of negativity, guilt, this feeling of owing people something. And actually, really what best practice research suggests is that actually you've got to treat charities just as you would any other brand. People have to feel good about you. And then to do that authentically for Blesmer was more the humour side of it than anything that was too worthy or heart-wrenching. But I think that came out really clearly, not just in the veterans that we spoke to, but also the charity itself. Everyone that works there that we've met have exactly the same sense of humour, and actually that tone was reflected across everyone that engaged with this campaign. And I think that was a really key part of us actually not feeling like we're the brand that's guilt-tripping people. I think the convention, specifically in the military space as well, was very stoic, very heroic, very hardcore, very, I think it felt quite surface level. You never really got to lean in and get to know anyone that was featured in any advertising within the military space. And actually, once we met the veterans, it felt like a real shame that no one was giving that true sort of representation of who they are and what they think and what they feel like. So the more conversations we had with the veterans and other veterans outside of Blesmer members, actually it was just loud and clear that they wouldn't really associate with anything but humour. It was so integral to them. But then also, you know, the audience that we were targeting with hopefully legacy giving, also they need that. You know, we can't underestimate, this was sort of your 60s and 70s age group. Actually, they're out living life to the full, and you know, they don't feel like death is looming, when we're talking about sort of legacy giving and writing wills, actually they don't associate with that at all. And the category kind of assumes as soon as you hit 60, you're going to get sort of funeral leaflets through your door, and all your advertising and emails you're going to get just assumes that's the end of you. And it's really just not where their mindset is at. And I think we really wanted to challenge that as well and show that we completely appreciate that they're still out living life. And and that was the really nice synergy, I think, between those two audiences.
I think as well that humour has always been one of the best ways of connecting with people and speaking to people on their level and breaking down barriers and all that kind of stuff. The use of humour has probably become a little bit disruptive in itself, because I think people are probably a bit more frightened of humour these days, of where to pitch it and, you know, where it's going to land and all that kind of stuff. So I think just from a personal point of view, we were very keen as well to use humour as an approach. And it was great when we did meet the charity early on in chemistry meetings. It was just brilliant to see that they had that running through them, really. As a charity, they've really got a unique spirit. So yeah, it all aligned really well.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, humour can be so effective. It's really a good way to do it. And it's great you had that collaboration with the veterans as well. And then just on a more broad scale, what are some of the challenges you encounter when creating campaigns for TV?
That's a big question.
Do you mean in general? Awesome.
Yeah. Or also, I guess, maybe in the charity space?
It's probably a big one, like Emily said. I guess it's just the assumption that if you're going to do charity work, I think a lot of people's default setting, there's not usually a lot of money to spend, so you're not going to be making a £1 million TV commercial with big special effects in it and all that kind of stuff. You tend to be regularly pulling on people's heartstrings a little bit, you know, because quite often a lot of the stuff that you're talking about warrants that. It's pretty kind of sad stuff and moving kind of stuff, really. So I guess a lot of people do default to tugging on the heartstrings, soft piano music. Before you know it, it becomes a world of convention. And while that might still be, you know, if you've got a brilliant TV ad that hits those buttons, that might still be the best way of communicating that. If everybody's doing it, and everybody hasn't got loads of money to spend, the whole sector of charity ads start to look and feel very similar. So when you're doing, certainly in this sector, we do a lot of charity work. That's the bit where I'm supposed to say, don't like to talk about it. But yeah, we do. I mean, every agency does a lot of charity work. And you know, that is something that you do come up against quite a lot. So you're trying to find anything really that's going to give you an edge or a point of difference or a different way of doing it.
I think that the budget point, actually, we got quite lucky with Blesman, that just shows what a close-knit charity it is actually that I think some of the, you know, the voiceover artist we used was actually the son of a Blesma member, and the Blesma still, you know, they do lifelong support. They still support his mum. The talent featured in the ad is a genuine Blesma member who's got experience of being a parent. So I think a lot of what we managed to do actually was really utilise the fact that it is charity to make it as authentic as possible. And a lot of people behind the scenes have got a link to Blesma as a charity because it is such a personable, honest and genuine charity. And I think the more we learn about it, the more we loved it as a charity. But I think that just shows the opportunities that maybe come out with working with a charity that you don't necessarily get on other campaigns, that is people's willingness to really get involved and be part of it and really want it to succeed. So I think it's a challenge in a sense, but actually it comes with different opportunities you might not otherwise get.
Yeah,
it's a great campaign. I hadn't heard of the charity before, but I'm glad I've been introduced to it now.
You might not get targeted because you're not quite the age group. So
yeah, true. That's true.
Advertising just yet. I'm getting it because I'm in that age group, which is quite tragic. But it goes to show that, you know, I do see a lot of that stuff coming through in my feeds, being mid-50s and coming through on TV. And when we do see something like Blesma, it genuinely does stand out, just because of the approach that we've taken. So it's a great way to approach charity advertising, and particularly stuff for Blesma and disability.
Yeah. And I think one thing we got out of this being a charity was Sky AdSmart's opportunity to let us use their new voice activated software that I don't think we would have got had we not been working with a charity. And I think it was a great opportunity for us to try something new and different. And it's because we were working with a charity that landed on our laps, really.
Yeah. Another campaign you did that I really liked was the one raising awareness about the hostel architecture and the homeless spikes. Did you all work on that one?
Yeah, that was me and Gary again. And we, again, just because it's stuff that you feel passionately about. And you see it almost in your everyday, and it's just there in front of everyone, but nobody really notices it because it's so insidious, the hostile furniture stuff. I mean, I think, Gary, you'd spotted the spikes and the article on the spikes, and it was like, flipping heck, that is just everywhere, and that is what it's designed to do. There's no more clearer statement of we are hostile to homeless people in this city than putting spikes across a whole range of furniture or creating uncomfortable furniture that people can't lie on or even get any comfort out of. So just that thought alone, it's just quite cynical and cold-hearted at a time when those people are at the lowest and they need to feel supported. So we felt we had to do something, or at least raise awareness about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of cause or charity stuff that you'll see yourself and just feel really, really angry about, and think, well, I've got to at least try and do something to help, you know, even if it's just in some small way, just to help raise awareness or that kind of thing. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we produce as an agency like that, really, you know, and sadly, there's enough of it about to sort of work on. So.
Yeah, definitely. It's really upsetting to see architecture like that. Can you tell me a bit more about that campaign and what kind of went on behind the scenes?
Yeah, it was something. I think I saw it as an article first, and then we found out that in Manchester that certain stores that will remain nameless had put those spikes outside, and then thankfully the great people of Manchester were having none of it, and they petitioned to get pretty much a lot of the spikes in Manchester removed. But I think as we did a little bit more digging, there was a lot of them in London, and there still are now a lot of them. And I guess we'd seen something, and like I said before, you know, just felt compelled to try and do something to raise awareness, because people just hadn't really seen them. You know, they do tend to go unnoticed. And the idea really just came from that, didn't it? We spotted something, and then again, you're looking for something. Really, nobody was paying us to do that, so you're looking. Can we do that? Something that's relatively small scale but high impact, and you know, came up with the idea. And then we approached homeless charities to see whether they'd be interested. And while they all really liked the idea, a different homeless charity has obviously got its own work that it's focusing on. So it was very hard to kind of fit it in to the activity that they were currently in the middle of. And we found a site that was set up by a British artist called Stuart Semple. And he'd like us, he'd seen something in his hometown, I think it was Bournemouth, and felt really kind of aggrieved about that. And he'd set up this website and did quite a lot of PR around, you know, how awful this is, and particularly he's got real links to design. And so we approached him and his sort of collective and just thought, you know, asked would he be interested in producing it as a partnership, and he said he'd love to. And from then on, it was just going finding the locations and the spikes and measuring them, and then we had to do, you know, things like photo shoots to fit each one. So it was very kind of turning the spikes into poster sites was very, very bespoke for each site. We actually shot each, you know, photographed each person who was represented as homeless in the ads to fit just that specific site. So it wasn't like a widespread, you know, as you would with a 48 sheet media campaign or anything like that. It was really targeted. And then finally we had to go and put them on the spikes without obviously getting arrested or getting beaten up in some cases. We managed that. But yeah, because a lot of them are on private property, really. So that was the process, really. And, it was a pro bono project, and just took a lot of a passion project, really, didn't it? Took a lot of time around the edges, really, to try and pull it off.
Yeah, it's great to hear more about that one. It's so effective as an out-of-home campaign. Yeah.
Thanks.
It was good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to wrap up the discussion. Thank you all so much for joining me.
Okay, thanks for your time, Amy.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to learn more about the agency.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you to all our listeners. That was today's MadTech podcast special.